Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Excited about tonight. It's a little unusual. I don't know that there's any teaching at all. Just some upcoming events, and it's more promotion of what God is going to do. And I'm sure any time that the Holy Spirit begins to speak in our services, there's teaching and uplifting edification. So, hallelujah. The first thing that we're going to do is to cover and to go over the prophecies that came Sunday morning. So, can you please hand those out, pass those out? You should get two prophecies, and those of you that are watching online, they're in our prophecy section, and you should find them. They're easy enough. Most of you are very familiar with that area. Hallelujah. And as I said, we're not going to forget about that a little later in the service. At some given point, we're going to pray over a handkerchief that's going to be sent out to someone in Texas. But the Holy Spirit spoke a couple of times, and one of them was through our Miss Sarah Plamondon, and she exhorted us on stage, and she types up the prophecies for us and edits. And I said to her, I said, include what the Lord said through you Sunday. And she was a little surprised. I said, no, it was an exhortation and prophetic. So we need to go over that as well. And we don't always go over all of these prophecies, but a lot of times we do. And we've got other things to say tonight leading up to the direction of where the Lord is taking us this weekend and some other things that are coming up in our near future. So hallelujah. Agree with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity in this service to walk into you, to be led by the Holy Spirit. We covet the gifts, and we covet you, Holy Spirit, that nothing is of us and all things are of you, and that you lead us and guide us so that Christ is manifest in our midst, that Jesus is manifest, and only you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first one that we want to go over, hopefully those of you that are watching, and we appreciate everyone, you are so loved. You're so loved. And sometimes I get the opportunity, like today, to go over names and lists of people that I know are part of these services, and you're watching, and just call your name out in prayer. So I want you to know that that happens, and you're loved and you're appreciated and you're thought about. So praise the Lord. The first prophecy that I want to look at together with you and just read, and I'm going to try not to say a whole lot in these prophecies because I'd lose the hour. And that's sometimes hard to do for a preacher. But the first one is he renews our minds and memories. And this is the first one that came on Sunday morning. So let's look at it together. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. He's just telling me this as much for me as it is for anybody. Even your memories. If Paul, formerly Saul, could move past the fact that he murdered Christians and go on to do such great things, how much more can we do? When it says that he renews our minds, truly get down to the practical sense. He's rewiring your brain. And the memories of the things that happened to you, things that happened even to the author of this, to me, they're not going to hold us the same way they did. They're not going to. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We're new creations. Even in our minds, even down to those neurons and those rewiring of neurons in Jesus' name. The spiritual renewing of our minds in the practical sense and in the spiritual sense, we're free. Hallelujah. It's good. So good. Hallelujah. We need that for where we're going in the spirit. So the Lord spoke this and it was pretty extensive, but let's look at the second prophecy. The pressing in and the extra are now. I'm asking you that have ears to hear and have the capacity in the spirit to do it, to press into this last place of dying to the flesh, says the Spirit of grace. And I said I'm going to try, but you know what he's saying here. And that whole, really that whole message, this was the prophecy, but there was a message that followed, and that whole message, the dying, we're not talking about killer sins or the dying to all the things that fell off at the, we're talking about what Paul was talking about when he said, I die daily. I die daily. That's the step into the place where revival comes. And so that's what he's identifying here. Birth this thing, not for yourself only, but for those who are hurting and dying in this world, committing suicide and desperate, both physical suicide and emotional suicide. No answers to be found. Will you love me enough to go into a place not out of desperation because things are falling apart? That's one way that people go in, usually. But rather to seek me when the sun's shining, is shining, and when you have the election of choice to go in and press past the barriers and the walls of the flesh. I'm asking you to come apart. I'm asking you to go into that place and intercede for those who cannot intercede for themselves and birth this thing. Bring it to pass. So that a presence hovers over this church and over this city and over this region and creates an atmosphere that is so conducive. How many times have we heard that word? For salvation, that people are continually yielding without solicitation from others. But what is on their minds and what is being amplified through the atmosphere, the Lord answers that thought of what will be on their minds. What must I do to change my life? Where is the answer? What must I do to be saved? Does God have an answer for my life? And in that cry, I'll answer them, the lost, with love and atmosphere coming out of this place and houses like it and places like it through individuals that are watching. That's you. Watching these streaming services, who for the time being their home is their church. I'll emanate from you. I like this word. I'll ooze out of your particular location, says the Spirit of God. Now is the time of pressing and now is the time for extra. Don't believe your flesh. It'll lie to you. And if you agree with it, then the two will become one. It's all it wants is just an agreement. Do not agree with your flesh that you do not have the time or the excuse that it offers that you cannot because of other things. For now is the time to push in, to press towards the mark, for the day and the hour will change. Now this is a change taking place and you got to catch this. If you do, it'll encourage you. For the day and hour will change and the atmosphere will come. And the sun of healing will arise in his wings. We left S-O-N in there. I think in the original writing of that scripture, it's S-U-N, and yet it still speaks of Christ. But this is the message that he was wanting to get across to us. And the Son of Healing will arise with healing in his wings, and an atmosphere will change, and a breath will come over the land called revival, restoration, and renewal. For the pressing in is now and the extra is now. The time of commitment is now for more. The time will come, says the Spirit of the Lord, that like my son when he was on the earth, and the Lord really, you know, I'm just listening as I'm prophesying, but the Lord's trying to get this across to us with words to try to help us to understand the commitment of Christ in prayer, but also what began to happen to him as he labored continually in that place and that balance of prayer and that place of works and ministry and healings and miracles. The Holy Spirit said here, he was on the earth who sought me privately. His entire life was engaged out of ministry and out of that place in his life. That his entire life was a continual ministry, going to and fro and ministering so much that my word says that if all the things recorded of his ministry could have been put down in books, one would suppose that the whole world could not contain the books that would have been written of him, last chapter in the book of John. And the same thing will be said of you. Praise God. You'll be very busy. You'll be very busy in good things. The church will be full, robust, bustling, going here and there, and great works will be done like was recorded in the strongest time of the book of Acts. This will last into the end, and you'll cry out in your hearts in desperation, longing out of that place of intimacy that was nurtured and built and grew during this time, the time he's asking us to press in. You'll say, Lord, I'm desiring more time in you because I'm so consumed in doing your ministry. You'll weep in a wonderful way. I'll console you that it seems as if you're I'm desiring more time in you because I'm so consumed in doing your ministry. You'll weep in a wonderful way, and I'll console you that it seems as if the multiple hours and times that you spent in birthing is not where you'll be in that time, because you'll be so inundated in a beautiful way with ministry. But what was birth? I like this part. I like this. Let me pause for just a moment. I know you know this. We're preaching dying, and dying to self. You know, remember the equation Sunday, the formula. Death means death. Death means death. Pi r square. New birth plus Holy Spirit plus a life of death equals little kids getting out of wheelchairs. I mean, that's just my rendition of, but you do know this. All your Bible time, all your praying in the Holy Spirit, all the dying, it's way more for us. It's way beyond just for us to die or to learn the word or pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is to build us up, to evangelize the world and heal the sick and cast out devils and bring forth an incredible ministry in these last days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's beyond us. Can I get an amen? Now, I said I wasn't going to preach, but I did a little bit. Okay. But what was birth will also sustain. In other words, what you do during this time, when we get real busy, it'll sustain you. What you brought forth in birthing will sustain you in intimacy and fellowship. I'll intimately commune with you as you lay hands on the sick and raise the dead, cast out devils, and your days are filled with many works. The season will change, It will change. You'll long for private prayer times, and that will never completely be dismissed. What we brought us here, we've always got to do. We know that. But, mark my words, says the Spirit of grace, the season is now for pressing because it will change into ministry. You've not seen seasons of ministry. We haven't. That we're preaching die, but it's all for a purpose. It's to transition into this outpouring in this harvest. That's what he's getting us ready for. So he says, you've not seen the seasons of ministry yet. You cry out for great works and you cry out for revival. Of course, he's pleased with that. What you're crying out for is something you've not imagined fully. It will be very time consuming, so much so that you'll relish the days when you had the hours to spend privately. But now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. I did jot down one verse, a couple verses, and I'll read this last paragraph because this goes along with what he just said there. Mark, now you can find this also in Matthew 14, but don't turn there. We don't have time. Mark 6, 30 and 31. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things that had just happened to John. He was beheaded, both what they had done and what they had taught. And so they'd also been sent out. And he said unto them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming. The King James says there were many coming and going. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. Wow. Hallelujah. You talk about, that's the ultimate answer to weight loss and diet right there. You don't have to figure out a new diet or anything. So involved. They were so involved in the orchestrating the ministry that there wasn't even time to eat hardly. Grab a sandwich, go over there, cast out a devil, heal the sick. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's where we're headed in the Spirit. And that's what he's trying to get across to us is he'll always nurture us out of these times and out of this intimacy. But the time is changing. The time is changing now. As the waters cover the earth, as the waters of the sea cover the earth, as my prophet said, so it will be of my presence that will cover the planet. I'll harvest a billion plus souls and bring them in and get them ready to go through whatever the enemy has planned in these last days. And I'll come and I'll harvest the earth with my angels and I'll separate the sheep from the goats. But you'll always remember these days that I asked you to press in and push past the flesh and all negotiation with the flesh. Now is the time. Now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to watch a couple of videos here in a little bit. And as I said, I want to pray with someone. And I want to get someone to say something here in just a little bit. But I want to say just a little bit leading up to this first one, because this first one is it's again another video from Dutch Sheets, but it's a promotion of where we're going Friday night, and what is happening and the bigness of everything that God is having us to be involved in. Let me see where to start. Let me reminisce for just a little bit. It's okay if I reminisce, okay? You know my testimony that in 1997, I won't mention any names, but Barbara Fish took Candy and I out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that was the first time that we ever met Dave Roberson. And I didn't really meet Dave Roberson per se. I think Daisy Black took me in the back, and I don't need to toot my own horn, but I'm not the kind of guy that I don't like to meet people just so I can say, you know, name drop or to promote myself. And I was like, she said, you need to come back and meet. I said, oh, well, okay. And I was humbled to do that. And you know my story. That was in 1997. And that was, they had March and October conferences. And Candy and I and Miss Barbara and Miss Vinnie. God bless you, Miss Vinnie. Hallelujah. And we all went out there together. And God changed my life. I came back. And you know the story. God, His grace, by His grace, gave away a house and a business. And then on August the 15th of 1997, on a Saturday, we moved over here. And we've been here ever since. So that's a good while ago. That's a pretty good while ago. Guys came over and got us in a pickup truck, and we moved over here. And we had, I mean, this house didn't look like it does now. And so that was the first conference. And then the second conference, Homer went back with me, and that was in October. And we stayed we stayed at the, I think it's the Hilton. It was the Hilton. It was right across from Oral Roberts University. I think it's changed now. But we stayed up there. And I still didn't know anybody. You know, I was still getting to know people. And I didn't know Dave. And I didn't even know Gary. Well, I had just come off a long fast. And I didn't know. There was a bunch of things I didn't know, and even though David taught on it, but I did maybe know, but I couldn't discipline myself not to eat cheeseburgers after you come off of several weeks of fasting. That doesn't work. You have something called a gallbladder, and it secretes bile that comes from your liver, and when you fast a long time, you deplete all the bile out of your gallbladder, and when you eat something fatty, that bile is supposed to be there to break down the fat, and it did not. And I went into a gallbladder attack in the Hilton. And Homer thought I was dying, and I thought I was dying. He didn't know what to do with me. And I think Miss Barbara called Daisy Black, and I was there. Now, by the way, I still have my gallbladder. God healed me, thank God. And I quit being so, I wanted to say stupid, but I'm not going to say that. And so I got a call during my suffering, and the phone rang, and somebody that I'd never met, I don't think I'd ever met even in the previous conference, was a guy by the name of Gary Carpenter. And he said, I hear that you're really having a rough time. And I said, yeah, I don't know what's going on. And he prayed for me. And he prayed for me right over the phone. And of course, Homer was praying for me, but he thought I was dying. So he was glad that Gary Carpenter prayed. And so I survived. You know, I survived. And that was start of the relationship. And I think Gary came in 98, and then Dave and Gary came back and said, you know, they're really serious about revival. I think you should go down there and visit those people. And he started coming sometimes two times a year, because he would go and preach for Norval Hayes and Crystal River and then come down here. But anyway, it was wonderful being able to sit under Pastor Dave. And I just thank God for all the private hours that I spent with him, and the things that he sowed in my life as a spiritual father. But right along the same lines as Dave becoming my spiritual father, was another man that began to also, that I was being nurtured by, right there with Dave, and that is Brother Tim Stemple. Now, I don't know if he's watching or will watch this service. He may be watching, but I'd say this one way or the other. But Tim was Dave's administrator, a prince of a man. He and his wife have become spiritual father and mother to Candy and I through the years. And during those years, they were flying down periodically to Orlando and doing a television show for Sid Roth, because that's where he was located at the time. I think he's in the Carolinas someplace now, or not sure. But anyway, they were traveling. They would fly down, and that was in the first couple of years. I mean, so that I began to know these men, and I remember that we being another man that I had hired at the time that was supposed to be working into a job of administrator, got a call from their office. It might have been from Tim, and said, "We're coming down to do another one of these television shows. Would you like to meet us for breakfast?" And at that time, I was so hungry. I mean, that 3 hours, 3.5 hours to drive didn't mean anything to be able to sit with those men and talk with those guys. And we met them, and we met at a real expensive restaurant, like a Denny's or something like that. Yeah, or a Perkins. I think it was a Denny's. And we met them, and we got out of the car, and there was me and this other gentleman that was with me at the time, and their Pastor Dave. And I'd only met him privately a few couple times. And Brother Tim Stemple. And we got out of the car and we talked a little bit, and then we started to walk in, and just the four of us. And somehow, Brother Tim and this other man, they walked ahead of us, and they were walking, and Dave began to talk to me. And, I mean, what he began to say to me, I knew only in part in comparison to where the Lord has brought me in these days. And he said, "Bronk, you are called to doctrine, and you're called to bring doctrine to the body of Christ and sound doctrine to the body of Christ." And he was explaining those things. And we walked on into the restaurant. The four of us sat down at a booth, and the two of us facing the two of them. And they began to pour their heart, they began to pour their knowledge into us, and we began to listen. And actually, I was probably scared just listening. I mean, these are two spiritual giants in my eyes and of truth. I've always been amazed. I don't know about you, but I've always been amazed where when I would watch men who, God bless them, was of a much lesser knowledge, would want to overtalk men who had much greater knowledge in a personal sit-down conversation. I never really wanted to do that, because I never wanted to reveal to everyone how ignorant I was about any given subject. As long as you don't say anything, people will think you're pretty smart. Or maybe they might think, you know, they can look at you and guess either way, he's smart or he's not smart. And but then when you open your mouth, a lot of times you reveal and they say, "Oh, well, I misjudged him." So, but no, we listened, and they poured their heart into us. But all this is leading up to something the Lord is doing for us right now, and just maybe a short season, but a lot of wonderful things that are taking place as far as the bigness of where God is taking us. And I use that story as an example to talk about, you know, the bigness of, let me say, as I said, Pastor Dave was mentoring me in doctrine, and we're still holding to all those valuable foundational pillars of truth. But the other gentleman in my life that I said was Pastor Tim, or he doesn't call himself a pastor, but Tim began to, I began to watch his life and watch, and as I would have sit downs and private times with him, my wife and I, with he and his wife, certain things were just instilled in me. They were imparted in me. And one of the things that was imparted, without even words, was the bigness of the Lord's kingdom and the expanse of, because I don't know, I will say this absolutely, I don't know a man and a woman that are any more laser focused on this path than those two people. But I also, when I was being at times with them and he, I remember one particular time that we were sitting in his office and there was a big expanse. You've heard me say this before. This is a global flat map. And he said, what is behind us is our starry night. In other words, relating to in Genesis 15 when God took Abram. He was not yet Abraham. That doesn't take place until Genesis 17. But he's instilled the vision of hope inside of Abram by having him look at the stars and say, this is where you're headed. It was 15 years later in chapter 17 before he changed his name and said, now I want you to say what you are, and changed his name to Abraham. But when God first contacted Abraham, or Abram, he said, look, this is your vision. And it's this big. And I'm just saying that to say this, is that there was instilled in me, it was amazing because I never saw a man that was more laser focused towards what Pastor Dave was teaching, and yet had such an incredible appreciation for what other ministries were doing and play in other parts of the world, and what other ministries that you know may not have been exactly on this path, but yet they were doing something wonderful in the kingdom of God. How many of you know that we're not alone in this? And there's millions and millions, and there's wonderful ministers. And so knowing that God is opening up to us, and we get a chance on Friday night, and a lot of that was just to introduce and say, the Lord is doing something so incredibly wonderful right now. And he's wanting us at times, not always, but at times to be a part of things that are happening worldwide and things that are happening in other ministries. And so that's the expanse of God. And that's the bigness. You say, Pastor, you warn us a lot about other... I certainly do. And we tell you, always watch where you get a steady diet at. Make sure you're watching. But at the same time, we need to open ourselves up to understanding that God's doing an incredible thing in the earth. And the time really is now. You know, I said this the other night, and you know what I'm saying because we've preached this a lot. There's no magical time, as in calendar dates, in which the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to start pouring out certain anointings in the earth. The kingdom of God has always been, for the last 2,000 years, anybody could have ever and always get healed and ministered to. So there's no real magic. The only thing that brings about any culmination of where God begins to really start seemingly starts doing things again is when people pray and fast and seek God to a greater measure. And that brings about faith and a sense of expectation in the earth. And so that's what we're seeing right now. And I have seen things begin to change even around me. And maybe you've begun to see things change around you, and especially in areas of healing. And so what we're going to see Friday night and be a part of is watching God release, based on the culmination of prayer, something in the earth, and that has already been, but now we're just making ourselves, we're affirming or standing with that and saying, Lord, use us, open up everything that you want to do at the Family Prayer Center of Mockley. Rosie, can you come up here for a second, please? I want to pray over a prayer cloth, and you can tell me who this is for. Homer told me, but I don't know that I remember. And you can... But Rosie, because we're about to go into a healing service on Friday night, I want you to... Can you share for just a couple minutes about where you're something that God has done in your life just most recently, please give attention to this. It's an awesome testimony.
Yes. I know most of y'all know what I was fighting, lymphoma cancer. I was diagnosed back in December. It's like, I know when the nurse told me, or the specialist told me, he's like, I know you don't want to hear this, especially coming into Christmas. It's like, and my granddaughter's coming home from the hospital too. It's like, but hey, God has been good to me. Even through this whole situation, I'm trying not to cry. I know fear and torment try to come, and it did try to come, but through all this, God has given me so much peace and strength that I wasn't scared. I know even though they told me what was going on, what I had, and so forth, there was so much peace. And it's like, I just thank God for the strength, because even through that, we didn't talk about it at home. It's like, this is what's going on, and we're not going to talk about it because it's not there. And not one time did my kids see me cry or be depressed or down because of this situation. Everything was normal. We just made it like everything was normal, like nothing was wrong, because nothing was wrong. I know I was healed even before that, even when they told me that. Yeah, I was scared, and I cried when I left the office, but I just felt that peace. It's like, it can't be. Because I had so much, even before I went in there, I had so much trust in God that nothing was wrong. That, you know, whatever they found was like something minor and stuff. But even through the whole chemo, I was good. The only time is when they gave me the shot, I was like down a little bit. But other than that, I was normal. I was still doing everything that I was doing, going to work, going to the gym, cutting the grass. Homer's like, you got boys there. I said, I don't care. I like doing it. It's, you know, I like staying active and stuff. So, but, but yeah, but this past Monday, because after I finished my chemo, they did one more PET scan just to make sure that everything was gone. And when I went, my doctor's like, we have a little concern. It's like, okay. As you know, but, they found something in my abdomen. It's like, well, we want to do a biopsy just to make sure. So I had surgery right away that next week. And then last Monday I went, and he goes, we didn't find nothing. I said, I knew that. I knew that. I said, I know I've been healed. And he goes, but, you know, we're just going to do your every 2 months for 2 years just so it won't come back. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I said, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. I said, but the Lord has given me strength. He has given me peace, strength, and grace. And I thank everybody for your prayers. Ms. Barbara, for going by and praying for me. Pastor, me going to cry at your house. You know, just scared. But, and for Amber, I know she's not here, but she was my nurse. But for everybody, Jacoby, she went and sat with me during chemo one time, you know, and stuff. But I appreciate all your prayers. And I know God healed me even before I started all the chemo.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
What? Yes, whenever you prayed for me, that I was sitting over here and you said, cancer, it's gone. And it was gone.
Hallelujah.
I felt something. It was gone.
Thank you, Jesus. So what Homer is saying, and all the glory to God, that God said through me, the cancer is gone.
Yes,
and sure enough, it sure was. Yes. Hallelujah.
And I believe that when we pray with this cloth, that it'll be gone too.
Yes. And tell us who this is now.
Her name is Tina. Let me see. Yeah.
Okay, a good friend of Noelia. Yeah. And many of you know Noelia. Yeah.
No,
okay.
It's just Alton, Texas, Tina Regino, and she's a mother of 9-year-old twin girls, and she's in her mid-30s, and she's a born-again and spirit-filled believer, and the doctors, I guess, don't give her any hope. She's
okay.
Got cancer.
Okay. So in just a moment, I'm going to have us all stand, and we're going to pray over this, and I just want to share this also because this is, we're in a healing revival. It's starting. I'm telling you, it's starting. And many of you know that 2 years, about 2 years ago, Alan Taylor called me and said, Pastor, would you consider joining a team, Gary Carpenter and I, ministering to pastors and leaders in Brazil and doing a weekly teaching down there that will be part of their training process. And then, of course, it's evolved into where we do two conferences every year that are live conferences. Well, Tuesday night is the night that I do my recording and I speak to these pastors and leaders. And it's not live, it's recorded and then put in a library and they access it as they go up. It's a training program that they go up. Now, we do live conferences, but on Tuesday night, when I get on there, there is the pastor that has opened up, you know, the Brazil to Pastor Allen, and then she has a number, then there's my interpreter, and then we're going to pray in just a moment, Rosie, but there's other technicians, and one of those technicians is a dear lady. I can't say her full name, but they call her Cece. And she was on there. She's one of the technicians, and she's helping out. So I've got all these ladies that are greeting me when I get on there. And a few months ago, sometimes they'll do this. Before I get started, they'll have a prayer request, and they'd say, Pastor, and sometimes through WhatsApp, Pastor Hita will say, would you be willing to pray for so-and-so prior to your teaching tonight? And I always, sure. And so a couple of months ago, I think it was about that time, that this lady, Cece, had me pray, asked that I would pray before I would do my teaching, I believe it was before, and said, will you pray for my mother-in-law? She is very depressed. And so we prayed, and I prayed and gave it my best and released the power of God for her healing and deliverance. And so last night, before we got started, she came on, she was on there with, you know, I have all these screens in front of me, and she came on there, and she can't speak English, but my interpreter can speak perfect English. So she says, Cece wants to share with you. Well, she's animated. I mean, she's like beside of herself, and she's like, I told him at one point, I said, she needs to preach at the conference, because she was like, she was going. And so my interpreter was Monica, and she was interpreting to me. And so she said, Pastor, we want you to know this. She said, you know, when you prayed for her mother-in-law that was depressed, whenever that was, she said she got deliverance. She got healed. And here's the thing. Here's the amazing part. Either I asked her or she said she has been depressed for 40 years. For 40 years, she has been like a manic depressant, I guess. Just depressed. And she said, from the time that you prayed and the time that we prayed, the depression lifted off of her, and now she's been depression free for all these months. Hallelujah. She also was way back years ago speaking tongues, but all this time she has not been able to speak in tongues. Once we prayed and this thing came off of her, she started praying in tongues again. Hallelujah. So tell me that's not a miracle. 40 years of manic depression, and then you get deliverance just like that. That's God. That's God. We're going to believe God right now. So, Rosie, all of us, let's all stand. And I'll just, Candy, if you'll come over here with Rosie and I and lay your hands on this. And the rest of you, stretch your faith this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in advance for the miracle that takes place in this dear woman's body, this mother of children. Jesus, you paid the price for her healing. By your stripes, she is healed. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak and release the power of God to her now and in this cloth. Cancer, I command you, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Be stripped out of her body. Cursed be the cancer that is in this woman's body. And I relieve you of this infirmity by the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus' name. Cancer, go. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For us to get these done, Harry, go ahead and start. I'll tell you what. Go ahead and start the first one. I think they're shorter. One's about 12 and one's about 6. So we'll probably just about be right. Go ahead. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15. And the title of today's post is Big Grace, Big Power, Big Miracles. I will share thoughts today and tomorrow regarding healing and miracles in preparation for the Healing Summit this Friday night in Middletown, Ohio. In Friday's post, I'll share some thoughts or words from the leaders who are participating. Today, Holy Spirit has drawn my focus to Acts 4. The timing of this chapter is just after the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, Acts 3, 1-10. Keep in mind that there were no chapter divisions when the scriptures were written. The narrative of Acts 4 is a continuation of Acts chapter 3. All of Israel was aware of this man. Israelites traveled to Jerusalem for the three major feasts. While there, no doubt walked past him many times. As a result of this astounding miracle, followed by Peter's preaching of the gospel, approximately 5,000 people were saved just on that day. The Jewish leaders who had rejected Christ were angry about these conversions, but couldn't deny the reality of the miracle. Their response was to threaten Peter and John, commanding them not to speak or teach in Christ's name. The response of the believers was to pray. In their prayer, they referred to Psalms 2, which speaks of rulers working together against the rule and cause of Christ. It says, they quoted that psalm, "And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, saying, 'How dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings of the earth take their stand, with the rulers scheming and conspiring together against God and his anointed Messiah.'" Sounds like today, doesn't it? The believers in Acts 4 then asked God for several things after they quoted this passage. They asked for several things and received an astounding response. Quote, "So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus." And as they prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. Each of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. The Passion Translation. Wow, the earth and building shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. Unrestrained boldness, the wording of the Passion Translation, is one word in Greek. Unrestrained boldness. One word, parisia. The footnote in the Passion Translation says of this interesting word, quote, "This involves more than confidence. It was a free-flowing, unrestrained boldness. It can also mean freedom of speech." Parisia carries nuances that are hard, that are not easily brought over into English. Parisia was reserved, hear this, for only the highest rank of Greek citizens, not people of other lands or slaves, end quote. This struck me as significant. Parisia was a type of freedom of speech connected to citizenship in that day and culture, much like what we American citizens are granted in our Constitution. But these disciples weren't asking for Rome's freedom or permission, but heaven's. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, they were saying. Excuse me. You are the king of the kingdom and all the earth. Grant us your permission to speak. Heaven's freedom of speech. And the building shook. Permission granted. The chapter then speaks of their unity and generosity to one another, followed by the incredible statement in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The word great is used twice here, great power and great grace, and is the Greek word megas, from which we get our English word mega. It is used again in Acts 8:13, speaking of great miracles. One of Strong's definitions of megas is simply big. I love that. Big power, big grace, big miracles. How much grace and power from heaven do we want? Big. What kind of miracles are we asking for? Big. Let's ask God for big grace and big power to be poured out Friday night, releasing big miracles for those present and watching. So far, 640 churches are planning to stream the service and pray for individuals in their sanctuaries. Thousands will do so in their homes, and I'm sure that number will swell even more. Also, we know that this is more than a one-night service for healings and miracles. It's about gifts and anointings that will be released throughout the world for continued healings, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, the gift of faith, the word of knowledge, discernings of spirits, 1 Corinthians 12. A new season. These gifts of the Spirit won't be released from us, of course, but from Holy Spirit. And let's agree for this today. One more thing before we pray. Though it seems a bit out of place in this post, I want to add a paragraph urging prayer for the protection of leaders. I have been feeling an alarm. Monday, Cece and I felt at the exact same time regarding Monday, Cece and I felt it. This alarm at exactly the same time regarding another assassination attempt. This warning was strong. Please pray daily for the protection of leaders in every branch of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. Please include those who are running for office and their teams. Consider asking Holy Spirit to lay an individual on your heart to pray for daily. And let's pray. Father, just as the early church did in Acts 4:29, we ask you to extend your hand to heal Friday night and from then on. We ask that signs and wonders, take place through the name of your holy Son, Jesus. We realize you've always provided healing, but we believe an outpouring of miracles will now be released as part of this new harvest season. Give us mega grace, mega power, mega miracles, and a mega harvest. So many are in need of healing and deliverance. We're asking for the release of your compassion, just as you did through Jesus. He was moved with compassion. Let your compassion move through the earth. Oh, Father, let your compassion, Jesus, let your compassion move throughout the entire earth Friday night. Move in homes, churches, hospital rooms, everywhere from which hungry people are crying out to you, dorm rooms, everywhere. And please release an impartation of the gifts of Holy Spirit. Deposit into thousands of believers around the world your gifts. We pledge that there will be no focus on our ministries and churches Friday night, only on you. We're not asking for miracles or revival in order to grow our churches and ministries, but to rescue the lost and broken and glorified. Send this, Father. And we pray for protection over our leaders and those running for office. We pray especially for Trump, as he is hated, so hated by some. We also lift up Robert Kennedy, whom we are concerned for. But we also pray for Kamala Harris, our legislators, and our Supreme Court justices. Please protect them, Father. And in Yeshua's name, we pray all of these things. Our decree, we decree that signs and wonders are being released into the earth in the holy name of Jesus. Thank you for joining me today. Please join me again tomorrow. We'll say some more about healing and miracles. And again, on Friday, I will also be sharing a few thoughts from those participating in the service Friday night. Have a good one.
Stay with me for just one more shorter than that. Let me speak for just a moment to the camera and to everyone here. Now, Friday night, we'll start about 6:30. We'll have a like pre-service worship that we have. People may come because we're one of the churches that is listed on the website. And then also, people can, if they would like, but they need to do it in the next couple of days, of course. I'd say at least by Friday, by noontime, if you want to go on our website and send in prayer requests, or if you know my private email, you can also send in prayer requests. Loretta Cole contacted me, and she said she was in a Bible study group. There was a number of people there, and they said they learned about that we're having this, and they said, could they send in some prayer requests? And I said, of course, you can. And so I would invite everyone to just come here as far as streaming to watch it here, because we'll give you a full screen. And I learned something else too, also today, I should say. By the way, isn't Harry doing a great job? Just a wonderful job. Yay. And he's updating us on a lot of different things. He said, Pastor, I've been wanting to do stuff for a long time. He said, when I got into everything, he said, we're probably about 20 years behind on a lot of stuff that people have been doing. But he said, we're going to catch up. And of course, none of it is for the overtures of our having any kind of popularity kind of, but it's all to the glory of God. But what I was going to say is, if you tune in here, to our website, and will this work also on YouTube as well or no? Yeah. So if you come here to watch it through streaming, you're going to get, when we start watching it, it's not like it was where we have to take our camera and put it on our screen and you watch it through our camera. Harry says we've got an apparatus that we bought recently that puts us in direct streaming. What you'll be getting on your television set is the direct link and streaming straight to your television set. So it won't be second hand. You'll be getting it first hand. So isn't that great? I mean, you'll get all the quality and you can just stay with us until we pan back out and then do our ministry here with everyone. So come here, watch it with us, and you'll get the same quality at home. There's one other something that's coming up, and this is short. You can survive to sit here just a few more minutes. And this is a worldwide prayer vigil that's going to be a Zoom on September the 22nd. And I want you to watch this, and then I'll say something, and then I'll release you, and you can travel home. Blessings.
Hey everyone, I'm Brian Allard with World Praise.
And this is Jason Hubbard with International Prayer Connect. So good to be with you today.
Yeah, you know, we're just excited. God put in Jason and I's heart to call America for 7 days of prayer, September 16th to the 22nd of this year, finishing with a global day of prayer on September 22nd. We would love to partner with you to cover American prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have such a sense that we're in a desperate time right now in our nation. And from our heart to yours, Brian and I, we want to humble ourselves and ask for your prayer from America, from the nations, on behalf of this nation. We truly need the people of God to begin to intercede and pray for breakthrough for our nation, for the glory of Jesus, and for all that he wants to do in this great land.
And we're building it around this theme of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, right? So it's not a call to Hollywood or the White House to repent. It's a call to the church to repent. We have to repent first. We have to posture ourselves in humility, pray, seek God's face, and we need to turn as believers from our wicked ways. And then the world will experience transformation. So would you join with us these 7 days of prayer for America? You can pray anywhere, ever. We'll kick off on the 16th with a live stream. We'll finish on the 22nd, 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern time. Jason, would you tell us a little bit about the 22nd, about this three-hour global prayer call for America?
Yeah. You know, after hearing from so many global leaders, we've decided to call this Global Day of Prayer for America, asking the nations to pray for us. We're in need of your prayers from Indonesia to Brazil, from Africa and India. As you know, many of our churches are prayerless, plagued with pride. Many of our homes and marriages are broken. With over 40,000 denominations in America, the church and its leaders, we're struggling to walk in John 17 oneness. As you know, our nation is divided politically, socially, and as we know, only a united church can heal a divided nation. And so we're in need of your prayers. Would you join us? Consider a watch party, praying in your church, in your home. Join us online. September 22nd, we're going to pray from 7 a.m. Eastern time to 10 a.m. Eastern time. We'll have key leaders joining us and leading out in prayer and worship from every continent in the world. We need your voice. We need your intercession. Would you join us and ask God for a return to the fear of the Lord? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friends. We love you from Jason and I. We love you. We want to join with you. posture ourselves in humility, brokenness before the Lord, and believe for a great spiritual awakening once again in America. God's not done with America. He's not done with the world. And so we love you. We bless you.
Hallelujah. So September the 22nd is on a Sunday, and this is going to be a challenge to most. But we're going to host this here, and it'll be a live Zoom, and it'll be ministers from all around the world. It'll be a three-hour vigil. It'll take us up right up to our usual service time. And so you can watch this. I'm asking people to make a sacrifice to be able to, you know, I'm giving you a month in advance to come out early, camp out with us. We're going to have, you know, there'll be an exception. We'll have donuts and coffee waiting at 6:30 for you, and so, and some juice, and you know, hopefully this will be the first time Corey's ever early for church, the first time. And if you can't be here at, you know, at 7, maybe you can be here at 8, or maybe you can be here at some point during that prayer vigil. But we all want to get together and spend those 3 hours, and then we won't have Sunday night service because we'll be wanting to go home and take a nap probably. But come prepared to pray, and come prepared to agree with these men. And I've, you know, read about what the prayer is going to be, you know, the prayer vigil will be praying for America, praying for the elections, praying for a return of God's presence all across America. So we want to be a part of what God is doing in a big way globally, in what he's going to do as far as bringing in a billion harvest in these last days. So praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? And we're going to get together Friday night. Do not forget. We won't have Sunday night service. Monday is Labor Day. Can you believe Monday is Labor Day already? It's amazing. We're going home quick. Praise the Lord. We got to have this revival because, I mean, life's almost over. It's a vapor. Amen. So we probably wouldn't have had Sunday night because we're having this Friday night, but it's also Labor Day as well. So Jesus, thank you for this wonderful presentation of really advertising what is up and coming events and things that you want us to be involved with. Place in our hearts, not just the people here, but the people that are watching, to be part of this as one body and as one people going forward for the kingdom of God and to receive this outpouring in the earth. We love you. We bless you. We commit ourselves unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.